Some of the details in today's story may be disturbing. Discretion is advised. On a cold February morning in 1957, in a park just north of Philadelphia, a young hunter was out checking on his traps when something peculiar caught his eye. It was a box hidden in the underbrush, tossed away like trash. As the hunter approached, a horrific sight was hidden within its contents. A small boy laid inside with a flannel blanket covering his nude body. The small boy was covered in bruises and chunks of his hair were cut off. It didn't take long for the hunter to realize the boy was deceased. But instead of reporting what he found to the police, the hunter instead said nothing and continued along his way, not wanting his traps to be found since he wasn't supposed to have them in the area at that time. It wasn't until a few days later, a college student driving along the road saw a rabbit running across into the wooded area, and he knew that there were traps in the area and wanted to save it. But as I was researching this, another story claimed the boy was actually a peeping Tom who was in the area looking into windows that belonged to young women. But whether the boy was an animal activist or a creep, he too stumbled upon the box with the young boy inside. The college student was also apprehensive about going to the police, but finally decided to report it. That's when this tragic story goes from bad to worse. And if you are looking for a happy ending, I'm sorry to say this story doesn't have one. This is Shadows in History. I'm your host, Tiffany Taylor. Once the police stepped foot on the scene, any hopes they had of finding the family of this child were quickly dashed once they caught sight of the discarded child. They knew almost immediately that he was not meant to be found. His body was not only severely bruised, but he was also severely malnourished. What hair he had left was matted, and clumps of what was cut off clung to his body. He appeared to have surgical scars on his body, which included on his ankle, groin, and chin. Since he was in such a horrific shape, a definite age was hard to place on him. It was decided to age the boy at around 3 to 7 years old. Despite all of this, police decided to fingerprint the boy, but sadly, no matches were found. Over the next several years, police created over 40,000 flyers, which were posted all over the state and were even put into envelopes of utility bills. The police were desperate for the public's help because there was such little evidence left at the scene, as well as he didn't match any description of any missing children at the time. The police were soon flooded with tips, but none were helpful in identifying the boy, who would soon become known as the boy in the box. The police decided that they had to work with what little evidence they had at the scene. The flyers that were created also had a picture of the blanket the boy was wrapped in, as well as a picture of the box. Police soon discovered the box was a bassinet box that was sold at a local JCPenney store and discovered that only 11 had been sold. Their hopes were quickly dashed when they found out that 9 out of the 11 owners couldn't be linked to missing children, and the other two were never identified. A fingerprint analyst was brought onto the case by the name of Bill Kelly. He volunteered his time and sifted through thousands of birth records, comparing the boys' prints against them at his own expense. He checked with local hospitals and homes of unwed mothers to no avail. He spent years trying to identify the boy and even checked passports, believing the boy may have been the son of immigrants. Another man by the name of Remington Bristow offered help with the case, offering $1,000 of his own money as a reward for information leading to the identity of the boy. Philadelphia Magazine reports he published an article in the local paper suggesting that the boy may have died accidentally and that the parents couldn't afford the funeral. Unfortunately, his efforts didn't lead to any useful information. While there is no definitive evidence about this case, there are several theories as to what may have happened to the boy. Remington Bristow, as stated before, also consulted with a psychic to try and find any information that might finally give police some answers. The psychic stated that the boy lived in a foster home and gave a description of the home itself. The couple who owned the home were ruled out as suspects, but Bristow was not satisfied with that conclusion. He became convinced that the couple's young daughter was actually the mother to the unidentified boy and had him out of wedlock. He believed the boy was hidden until he accidentally died or was killed to remain a secret to keep the mother's reputation. In May of 2002, a woman by the name of Martha came forward claiming she knew who the boy in the box was. She claimed that her mother purchased the boy for the sole purpose of abusing him. She also claimed that the boy went by the name of Jonathan and lived in the basement of their home, where he was beaten and was only allowed to use a small drain for the bathroom. She continued by stating that she was also abused by her mother. She stated that her mother killed the boy because he threw up his dinner of baked beans before she slammed his head up against the wall. When Martha's mother took the boy to put him in the bathtub, that's when she noticed he was deceased. The mother then dumped the body in the wooded area inside a box. What caught the police's attention was that when the autopsy was done on the boy, early in the investigation, the coroner reported that there was baked beans in his stomach. This information was never made public. And since the boy died from blunt force trauma to the head, they finally felt they had the answers they were looking for. But the police were unable to verify Martha's story, since she was found severely mentally ill. And when they tried to verify her story with friends and family, her claim was dismissed by them, and they called her claim, quote, ridiculous, and never saw the child she described. To this day, the case remains open as one of the oldest cold cases. When no one came forward, the detectives on the case bought and paid for the funeral and the headstone of the unknown boy. His headstone read, quote, Heavenly Father, bless this unknown boy. In 1998, his body was exhumed for DNA evidence, which they were able to get from his teeth, but no other leads were found. So he was laid to rest again in the Philadelphia Ivy Hill Cemetery, where he is surrounded by stuffed animals and toys that have been put there by people that hope the boy has been able to finally find some sort of peace. In 1998, a new headstone was made for him, and it simply states, America's Unknown Child. That is all for today's episode of Shadows in History. I'm your host, Tiffany Taylor. Please tune in next week for another chilling episode.